Well, let's pray before we begin this morning. Father in heaven, we thank this morning that we can gather together and open up the Word of God. And Lord, learn more about you and learn about our lives and learn about how we can please and honor and glorify you in these days in which we live. And Lord, on this Father's Day, we just pray to you, be with the preaching of the Word of God. And may your Holy Spirit bring forth the words and the truth that you would have us to hear this morning. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, happy Father's Day, men. I don't know about you, but there's a couple of times in my life where I've been totally amazed. One of them was when I got married. I can remember thinking, wow, I cannot believe she married me. That should be the expression, the thought, and the truthful words of every man here. All right? Wow. Jack, can you believe it? You still don't. Some things you never lose the wonder of it all, right? Amen. And then the other one was one day you wake up and all of a sudden you're a dad. That's shocker number two, isn't it, right? And then you say, now what do I do? Right? And then your first one, your second one, your third one, and wow, I'm married and now I'm a dad. You know, and things today are more difficult than they were years ago in a lot of ways. Just men, for instance, car repair. Nowadays, you don't even attempt to work on a new car, do you? But you know, back years ago, days ago, in fact, when we first started coming to church here, one of the greatest men's fellowships was on Friday nights over at Ray's house. Remember Ray? I mean, we used to, how many guys here used to go over Ray's house on a Friday night to get your car fixed? Right? We used to all just go over to Ray's house on a Friday night. You come anytime you want, just pull your car in. And back then, cars were simple. You could fix them. You could repair them. We'd go over to Ray's house and we just all park there. And Ray not only had a house, he had an auto store. Auto repair store, and you need a part for your car, and Ray would say, just go out back over there, take a left down by the transmissions, and over there in the corner. I remember one day I called up Ray, and I said, Ray, I need an alternator. No, it was on a Ford Fairmont. It was a little black box. It used to sit on this. Remember those little black boxes? It used to have a couple of wires, and you detach, and if that thing wasn't working, your car didn't run. And I can remember calling Ray up and saying, hey, Ray, I need one of these little things you told me about. I'll go down here in the backyard, go down the driveway, go over here, and there'll be a pile of them sitting right there in the grass. Sure enough, there it was. And a couple wires later and a couple screwdrivers later, because I had to figure out Phillips and straight screwdriver, and it's all set. But you know, back in the day, when you used to fix your own cars, you would go down to the auto parts store. You not only get the parts, but you got something else very important. Something else down there at the auto part called a Chilton's repair book. Remember the Chilton repair book? Now, I found out this week why you got Chilton's and why you didn't get Haynes. Haynes is for the beginner. And most of us thought we were beyond that. We knew Ray. So we are now full-fledged mechanics. But you get that Chilton's book. And that children's book would give you detailed step-by-step instructions on everything you needed to do step-by-step to fix and repair your own vehicle. Didn't matter what model, what make. They had every model, every make. And you could fix your own car. And you could repair your own car. And they gave you detailed instructions. And this morning, more important than a children's manual, we have the Bible. And as a Chilton's book was step-by-step instructions on how to repair a car, the Bible is step-by-step instructions on how to change your life and have your life changed and have your life fixed so that you can be a successful dad, a successful father in these days in which we live. And it's clearly written for us so that we can understand step by step. But before we get to the the main text of the message this morning. And before you had to, you started working on your car, you had to get some basic information first. You had to get some basics out of the way. If you went down to the auto parts store and you're working on a Ford Fairmont station wagon, which was my automobile of not choice, but practicality for price and parts and everything else. But you would make sure that you got the right book. You wouldn't get the Chilton's book for Chevrolets. You would get it for a Ford. And you'd make sure you got the right year and the right model. And when you did that, boy, you could follow the instructions step by step. You could figure out, you know, how to change your windshield wipers and important things like that. But, you know, the Bible gives us step-by-step instructions. But before we get here, we need to understand some basic information about being a dad in these days in which we live. Because society has changed, and the Bible has not changed. The Bible is still true. The Bible is still relevant. The Bible has not changed. God's Word has not changed. And so this morning, I want to just give us some basic information, which I'm sure you all know, but I want to remind us of it, because in this day and in this age, boy, we just need to be reminded about it. Number one is this, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, and this is the most basic information, but boy, you got to understand it this morning if you're going to be a successful dad. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. And then it says this, a wonderful truth, an amazing truth, and it is still the truth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God says, I created man in my image. I created male and female. It doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what society says. That's the truth. That's the way it is. There's a difference between a male and a female. Fact number one, basic information. There's a difference between a Ford and a Chevy. If you're going to be a successful dad, you got to be a Ford man. Well, no, not really, but if you're going to be a successful dad, you've got to be a dad. You've got to be a man. Amen? Number two, basic information number two. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. If you're going to be a successful dad, you ought to be married. You can't be a successful dad unless you're married, according to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4. Marriage is honorable in all. God says, I created man, I created woman, I created marriage. I ordained marriage as the institution by which a man and a woman would come together, have children, and raise a family. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So, fact number one, there's a male and a female. God created us that way. Fact number two, truth number two, God says marriage is still honorable. It's God's way. It's God's truth. If you want your life to be blessed as a dad, you ought to be married. You need to be married. That's God's truth. Number three. Now, guys, get ready. This is going to be a shocker to you. Number three, Ephesians chapter 5. This is where it gets a little sticky here, a little hard here, I know. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Boy, all of a sudden we're getting the big socket wrench out, aren't we? We've moved to the half-inch drive. Husbands, love your wives. Not as you think you ought to, not for yourself. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's your responsibility as a husband. That's your, after your relationship with the Lord, that's your number one responsibility in life as a husband. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, Now remember, we're just getting through the basic instruction. We're just figuring out the make and model of the car first and the year before we can get into the details of how to get it fixed. But husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You say, Pastor, how many times are you going to repeat that? Well, till we get the right book, right? In the right chapter and the right line, all right? Till we begin to get it. And this is why we need God's help, amen? I mean, wives have it easier in this. No. Actually, we have it no. Boy, they have it more difficult. Wives, love your husbands even in spite of who you met. No, anyways, we'll just stop right there. But husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And then as a dad, God also gave you another role, another responsibility. And here it is in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The greatest responsibility that a dad has, a father has, the greatest blessing a father can be to his family and to his children is to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that means not only with your words, not only do you say you ought to do this, and but with your life, by your life that your child might see the difference that God has made in your life. Raise him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And then if you turn to Psalm 128, we're not to our text yet, but Psalm 128. Boy, every dad ought to memorize Psalm 128. You ought to memorize it. You ought to repeat it to yourself over and over and over again. It ought to be your prayer. It ought to be the desire of your heart in your life as a husband, as a father. Because God gives a guarantee here, but that guarantee comes based upon some conditions, some responses by you as a man, by you as a husband. Listen, you want to be a real man according to the Bible? Psalm 128 says how it is. You want to be a man, a dad, a father, a husband that can be looked up to by your wife and by your children? Psalm 128 and verse 1 down through verse number 4 is where it is. It said, blessed of God. God's blessing upon your life. God's grace in your life. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. Boy, and God only gives you two things that you must do. Two things. He says, fear me and walk in my ways. He says, fear me. And look what he said. Look what God says. This is what God promises. This is what every man wants. This is what every dad wants. This is what we want. And God says, hey, I'll give it to you. I'll bless you with it. But he says, listen, you got to go buy my Chilton manual. You got to go buy the Bible. If you want this to work, if you want your life to be fixed, if you want your life to be changed, if you want the repairs to be done in your life so that your life is running smooth as a husband, as a dad, he says, you fear me, you walk in my ways. And look what he says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. He says, you'll work. You'll put food on the table. He says, because I'll bless your life. And then he says this, happy. I don't know about you. What dad doesn't want to be happy? What husband, what man doesn't want to be happy, right? We went out fishing last night. We didn't return happy. No más pescados. They haven't come out of the water yet. I don't know what it is, but no fish last night. We weren't happy. I mean, we're okay, but look what it says. Happy shalt thou be. You fear the Lord. You walk in his ways. God says, I'll bless your life. I'll take care of your life. I'll provide for your life. And he says, I'll put a smile on your face. You'll be happy. You'll have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is my strength. And then he says this, it shall be well with it. Hey, isn't that why you fix your car? Isn't that why you repair your car? Because you want your car to run smooth. Because when your car runs smooth, you're driving down the road like this. With a smile, right? If your car's not running smooth, you're not driving down the road with a smile on your face. You're driving down the road like this. Hope I get there, right? Hope it doesn't run out of gas here. Hope the brakes hold, right? Hope the steering works. Those are all things that I've had problems with over the years. Nothing worse than the steering going on a truck when you're driving around a corner on a back road and the power steering line goes out. And you, this little small weight of a guy, is trying to hold on to that big wheel and go around the corner like this. But you know, when that big Kenworth is going and that power steer is going, boy, it's a nice ride. I mean, you're just cruising, you know, you got this big truck, all this power, and you're just driving down the road. It's fun until something breaks. But it says, it shall be well with thee. It shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants rounded by thy table. And your family will be blessed. Man, that's why I say every dad, every husband, every man ought to memorize those verses. And that's the basic information that we want to begin with. There's a difference between men and women. Marriage is God's ordained plan for your life. Husbands, you're to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. You're to fear the Lord. You're to walk in his ways. And now you say, man, I'm overwhelmed. That's a big job. That's a big challenge, isn't it? Well, sometimes when you look at a car and you look at the size of the problem, and we're not talking about just replacing a light bulb in a tail lamp, but when you start looking at a big challenge, a big job, and all of a sudden you got the children's book here, and you look, and it's not only a half a page, but I mean there's 30 pages of detailed instructions on how to fix this car, and you grab that book and you look at it and you say, boy, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I see the instructions. I see the instructions. I see it says, love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I see that it says I have a responsibility to bring up my children and nurture and admonish the Lord. I see that it says to fear the Lord and walk in it. I see the step-by-step instructions, but I'm overwhelmed. Can I really do it? And here's the difference between a children's book and a Bible. Because a children's book stops with the instructions. And that's all it can do, is give you step-by-step instructions. This can do so much more. Because listen, you can put a children's book on the hood of a car, and you can go down to, I don't know where you get this, but you can go down to the store or Amazon and have it delivered and get a full-size mannequin. In fact, you could probably order it to be made to look just like you. Now, I mean, nowadays you can get anything. So you got your car that's all messed up. You go down, you get a children's book with step-by-step instructions, and then you go and you order a mannequin. Full life-size mannequin, looks just like you. Gray hair, 185 pounds. Just going by my weight. Anyways, and you put that book on the hood of the car, and then you put that mannequin standing next to the car, you put a wrench in the hand of that mannequin, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Nothing. Is that car going to get fixed? No, because you know what? There's no life in that mannequin. There's no breath in the lungs of that mannequin. There's no heart. And you see, what the children's book can't do is it can't give you the ability to follow the instructions. Look at trumpet playing. For every trumpet player, any person that plays a trumpet, there was one book you had to get. If your teacher didn't tell you to get this book, you got a lousy teacher. That's the truth. And there was a book written by a man by the name Arban, A-R-B-A-N. And it was called The Bible of Trumpet Playing. Man lived in the 1800s. Was known as the best cornet player in the world in his day. And he wrote a book on how to play the trumpet. And it went from the very basics, it went from just the very basics of picking up the trumpet all the way through to the most technical exercises you could do. And it said, if you follow this through, and if you are able to do every one of these exercises from the beginning to the end, you will be an expert trumpet player. So my trumpet teacher gave me that. He had me buy that book. Thick book, like this thick, this big and this. Boy, I started out in the beginning. And I started working through that book page after page after page. Never did get to the end. But I remember thinking, man, if I want to be an expert, if I want to be a professional, if I want to be the best trumpet player I can be, it says I got to go through in every one of these steps. But you know what that book couldn't do? That book could not put the breath in my lungs that were needed to be, that was needed to be expelled through the mouthpiece of that trumpet to go all the way around through and come out that bell and make a sound. I could hold that trumpet up to that book. Nothing would ever happen. But let me tell you something. Men, you hold this book up to your life. You stand before this book. You read this book. You believe this book. And not only will it give you step-by-step instructions, but this book literally will change your life. It'll fix your car. Because this book is spirit and this book is life. That's the difference, folks. That's the difference. That this book not only gives, the Bible not only gives the instructions, but the Bible provides you salvation and faith and the Spirit of God that indwells you, enables you to be a successful dad. And so turn with me this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, because in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to give you this morning two things on how to be a successful dad. Two things that God says to you and I that will enable you to be a successful dad. To enable you to love your wife. To enable you to walk and fear God and walk in His ways. To enable you to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that you'll be happy, so that you'll be blessed, so that your wife and your children will be blessed because you're the dad that God wants you to be. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and verse number 4. And the Bible says this, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Just like the children's book gives you every step, every detailed instruction on how to repair a car. And He says, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things through the knowledge of Him that has called you to glory and virtue. But verse number 4 is where it goes beyond what any manual written by man for something in this life can do. Hold on a second. I got to get my wind back. I just used up all that air supply. I got to get a refocus. But verse number 4 goes on. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And right there, that verse right there separates this book from every other man-written manual about anything. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And those two verses right there, Peter's writing. He's writing to all Christians, by the way. It's just we're fitting this into Father's Day today. You notice how I fit 2 Peter chapter 1 into Father's Day today, huh? Work both messages into one. All right? Learning from Donnie very well. But anyways, two things this morning. Number one, the promises of God. And then secondly, partakers of the divine nature. Well, you just stop and think about those two things. If those two things don't stir your heart up, if those two truths don't just get the fire of your heart going, and the promise and the encouragement that, man, I can love my wife. I can fear the Lord. I can walk in His ways. I can do what God says. I can be the husband. I can be the dad. I can be the person God wants me to be. Because of God. Not because of me. Because it's just because of me. I'm going to fail. I remember one time I can't remember what car it was. Boy, back in the day, we used to have a lot of different cars, didn't we? I mean, we'd go from one junk to another. I can remember one time, I had my wife go to the registry, DMV, I thought maybe that if she went with a car, that the inspector might be a little more gracious with a wife and child in the car. That was wrong thought. She packed all those kids in the car, and she went down to the DMV, and she wanted to get an inspection. You know what he said? He said, "What kind of a husband do you have letting you drive this car around?" She came home and said, "Thanks, honey. That didn't go well." But I remember one time in the backyard, Bruce Martin and I were working on, remember Bruce? He loved cars. He loved mechanics. I mean, everything. I mean, Bruce, it had to be just right. We're working on an engine on my car, and we couldn't get it. We had the valve cover gasket off. I don't know what we were doing. Justin the Rockers, I don't know what we were doing. But we couldn't get a bolt unstuck. So he said, "Hey, you got a pipe that we can put on the end of this and it'll give us some leverage?" "Oh, sure. I'm a construction guy. We got pipes all over the place." He didn't specify. You're talking to a backhoe operator who loves dirt. Well, you're talking to a mechanic who hates dirt. Well, I go over and get a piece of pipe that's been laying in the weeds for years. And I come over, and in all my haste, I shove the pipe on the end of that ratchet, and all this dirt goes down in the top of the engine, and all of a sudden my friend Bruce is, well, if you knew Bruce, right, Ray? And, I mean, it was a mess. I mean, I heard about dirt and engines for the next 45 minutes. And, you know, because it was me. It was me. And listen, when I try to live in my flesh as a husband and as a father, as a man, I fail over and over again. But when God lives in me, when Christ loves in me, that's when we have success. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, there's two things. First of all, the promises. Look what it says. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." I want to start this morning in this point with the fact that those promises are precious. Man, the Word of God ought to be precious to us. Listen, it was precious to Peter. You know why it was precious to Peter? Because Peter, well, go down to verse number 16. Peter says, "Hey, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him on the holy mount." Peter said, "Listen, James and John, the three of us, one day Jesus Christ told us to come up with Him into the mountain. And He was transfigured in our presence. We saw him in the brightness of his glory. And he says, all of a sudden we heard a voice from heaven. We heard God speak from heaven. God said, this is my beloved son. Now in 2 Peter, Peter's emphasizing the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when God spoke from heaven, in Matthew chapter 17, it says this. When God spoke from heaven, he said, this is my beloved son. And then he said this, hear ye him. Peter says, we were there in that holy mount where the Lord Jesus Christ in all his majesty stood before us. And we heard God the Father say to us, this is my beloved son, hear him. Hear ye him. And he says, we've heard him. We've listened to him. He says, I've heard Jesus speak. I've heard his words. I've heard his promises. He says, they're so precious. In fact, Peter would say this, one day the Lord Jesus Christ, we were with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was a bunch of people, group of people, that began to walk away. They went away from Jesus. And in John chapter 6, it's recorded that Jesus said to Peter, will you go away also? And Peter almost, it was like he was flabbergasted, like we should be flabbergasted. Lord, where are we going to go? I mean, men, ask yourself this question this morning. As a husband, as a father, where are you going to go? If you don't follow Jesus Christ, where are you going to go? If you don't follow his words, where are you going to go? You're going to go away from Jesus? You're going to go away from his words? Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life, and we know and assure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, I say to myself this morning, as a husband, as a dad, where am I going to go? If I don't go to the Word of God, if I don't go to God, if I don't go to Christ, where am I going to go? There is nowhere else to go. Because without Christ, there's no hope. Without Christ, there's no power. Without Christ, there's no change. And he says, where are we going to? You have the words of eternal life. And we could go through this morning, not only how precious the promises are, and by the way, it says, whereby are given unto us. But how great they are. How great the promises of God are. How great the promises of Christ are. Just stop and think about it. We could just go to one chapter in the Bible. In fact, turn there. John chapter 14. Just one chapter. Just one time when the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking in John chapter 14. And how precious this is. How great this is. When you think about it, the promises of Christ, the promises of God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, it says, these promises, the promises of God, they're a hope, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul. These promises, the Word of God. Hey, folks, I don't know about you. That's the anchor of my soul. This is where I rest my hope. This is where I place my feet. This is where I stand today in my life. Nowhere else. I don't stand on the philosophy, man. I don't stand on the politics of the United States. I stand right here on the Word of God. This is true today. It hasn't changed. It's still the same. But in John chapter 14, what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I mean, check this out. Here's a great promise. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Just stop right there. Just stop right there. You ever tried to reserve a room at a hotel and you get this thing saying it's all booked up, there's no rooms? Right? You go online, you want to go someplace, and you go to hotels.com and you first, you're looking at a place, and then the next thing you do is you change the way it sorts them all. Cheapest to most, lowest price to most expensive price, right? You start there, don't you? Come on now, you do too, right? And all the cheap rooms are gone. And then all the middle expensive rooms are gone. And pretty soon you get in the rooms that are $79.99. You say, I don't know, I can't handle this. No, but anyways, right? But you look and there's no rooms available.
Aren't you glad this morning that when it comes to heaven, he says, my Father's house has plenty of room for you.
Think about it. You step off of this life and you get to heaven, no one's going to be putting up a no vacancy sign. Because if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you got a reservation. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, here's another great promise. I go to prepare a place for you. Wow. You know, you go to a hotel and the rooms are all the same, right? He says, I go to prepare a place just for you. Just for you. Think about that, right? Mine's going to have a sign on the front door. Be quiet when you enter in, please. You're too loud. All right. But anyways, all right. But they're just for you. Just for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, Jesus is coming again. And I'll tell you what, you can think all the reasons you want why Jesus is coming. I'll tell you what I know. He's coming for me. Listen, I love you folks, and I'm glad for you folks, and I hope you're saved and you need to be saved. But you know what? He's coming for me, right? I'm more excited about that than I am for you, honestly. He's coming for me. Now I'm glad for you, but I'm overjoyed for me. Amen? Because Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He loves me. Paul said, he loved me. He gave himself for me. Boy, that ought to amaze every one of us. What a precious promise that is. What a great promise that is. That God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he says this. Here's another great promise. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, and I will show you the way. He says, the way is me. It's only through me. Listen, that's a great promise. Jesus said, you can be saved today. You can have your sins forgiven today. You can have eternal life today. You can be reconciled unto God. You can be saved today through Jesus Christ. Man, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe you sinned against God. You believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, rose again. And you call upon God. And God says, you know what? You believe in my son, Jesus Christ. And you call upon me. And I will forgive you. I will save you. And your life will never be the same. And that's where it all starts. And you know what? It says, whereby are given unto us. Unto us. Listen, may I tell you this morning that just like a children's manual, listen, a children's manual was written the majority of them years ago. I mean, the man that started writing them started in 1949. And every time a new vehicle would come out, they'd write a new children's manual. And now you get a car, you that love old cars, and you buy an old car. Listen, if you're going to buy a vintage car, you better buy a Chilton's manual with it. But you know what? No matter how old that car is, and no matter when that Chilton's manual was written, it's still relevant for today, isn't it? You better also buy a mechanic with it. But anyways, that book is good for today. It still works. You get a next 1964, you know, American Motors Rambler or whatever it was. I don't know why. You get a children's manual for it. Those directions are still good today. Hey, listen. This is still good for today, folks. This is relevant for today. It's still, he says, he's given exceeding great and precious promises to us, for me, as a husband, as a dad, in this world, in this day. And parents, grandparents, listen. It'll still work for our children and our grandchildren in the next generation. Don't worry about society and what's going on. God's book was good for us in our day. It'll be good for them in their day. They'll be able to live in the next generation just as we're able to live in this generation. If they live by the Word of God. and by the power of God. But it says not only promises. By the way, hey, for you guys, you car lovers, you know what the most sought after collector's car is? Anybody want to venture a guess? Steve? Nope. Ray? Jason? Anybody? Sorry, but it's a Charger. I don't know what year. But it goes like this. Charger is first. Mustang is second. Corvette is third. Camaro is fourth. Firebird is fifth. Now, that's through Google, and Google is always right, Steve. All right? Listen, Google's not always right, but this is. Amen? And it says not only promises, but look, check out this. This is the amazing, this is the exciting thing, that by these promises, you're made a partaker of something awesome, something that can change your life. The only thing that can make you and change you to be a husband and a dad and a man that can be godly and glorify God and please God and be successful. A partaker of the divine nature. Just stop and think about that for a moment. A partaker of the divine nature. You know, turn back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Because Jesus made those promises. Promises about Him. Promises about His Father's life. Promises about salvation. And He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. He wants you to know that when you're absent from this body, you'll be present with the Lord. But there's a lot of life to be lived between the day you trust Christ as your Savior and the day you go home to glory. And He says, I haven't missed that. I haven't left that out. He says, and this is the promises that Peter's really speaking about here. The promises of this life right now. Look what he says in John chapter 14 and verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. A couple of months ago, I stood up here. No. A couple months ago, I stood in my office, and I picked up my trumpet, and I did something really dumb. Men usually do dumb things. This was another case, but I did something really dumb in my office a couple months ago. I picked up my trumpet, and I said, I'm going to do my own lung test this morning. No one was around. I said, forget the doctors. I'm going to do my own lung test. So I picked up my trumpet, and I put it to my lips, and I tried to blow. You know your pastor. You know how foolish I am at times. Right? And this is one of those moments. And I took that trumpet, and I was determined. I said, I'm going to blow this trumpet. And I put it to my lips, and I blew as hard as I could, and I practically collapsed on the floor of my office. I mean, I practically dropped the trumpet, I put it down, I put it away. And I thought for sure at that time I was never going to be able to play it again. About a month later, you know, do it once, right? Do it twice. Well, I, you know, the twice time came in. This is a man thing again. Ladies, I know you're more intelligent, you're more discerning, you wouldn't do this. But a couple months later, I said, you know what, I'm feeling good today. And so I came up here. Poor Pastor Donnie, he found a nice quiet spot in the back where he's studying his Bible. And then comes his dad, and he said, I'm gonna see if I can play the trumpet again. And I stood up here again. And this time, I was able to play. And I had lungs to play. And I had breath in my lungs. And I thank God for it.
I haven't tried it again since.
But I had breath in my lungs. You see, without that breath in my lungs, doesn't matter all the ability, none of the skill, none of the talent, none of the mind, none of the practice works. If there's no breath in these lungs to blow through that trumpet, nothing's happening. But here's the thing. He says, here's what makes a difference in a man's life. When you are a partaker of the divine nature. And he says, that Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that raised up Jesus from the dead, will not only be with you, but it'll be in you. Hey, turn just two more verses. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Here's what God promises. Here's the difference that God promises. Listen, guys, I know it's challenging to think about being a husband and being a dad. It is. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. But look at Ephesians chapter 3. He says, you can be a partaker of the divine nature. My Holy Spirit will indwell you. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the grave will indwell you. In Ephesians chapter 3. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He says, I will strengthen you. I will enable you by my Spirit within you that dwells in you. Look what it says. Verse 20, this is one of my favorite verses. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you or your wife could ask, or above all that you could ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. How? According to the power that worketh in you. According to the Holy Spirit. Now just go over two more chapters and look what. Go over to Galatians. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Look what the Spirit of God is able to do. What you and I can't do, He can do. And think about how it fits within being a husband or a dad or just a man in general. Galatians chapter 6. Or Galatians chapter 5, excuse me. Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, that same Spirit that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that fruit of the Spirit is love. How can I love my wife? In the same manner that Christ loved the church? By the Spirit of Jesus Christ that lives in me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Oh, check this out. Long suffering. One of the reasons why my kids don't like fishing is because of their bad experiences with their dad, who is not long suffering and patient when we're fishing. Come on, Allison, we're going to take the kids and go fishing over Mohegan Park. Be quiet! I'm fishing! No wonder we didn't catch any fish. Mom, can we go home? Not yet. Your dad hasn't caught that. Long suffering. Not when we're fishing, man. Kids better be quiet. I want to catch this big fish over Mohegan Park. Anyways, the Spirit of God can change you, man. Look at the next one. Gentleness. The Spirit of God can take the roughest man and make him the gentlest puppy. Right? The Spirit of God's the one that can do that. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what the Spirit of God can do. And listen, you want to be a success as a dad this morning? You want to be a success as a husband this morning? You want to be a success God's way? In a manner that honors and glorifies God? 2 Peter chapter 1, it says this. I've given you the promises. And one of the promises is this. That I will give you the enabling by the Spirit of God to be what you can't be yourself. But I can change you from the inside out and make you what you ought to be. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Tell you what, I know because I know. I remember one time I put that Chilton book to the test. It was a Ford Fairmont station wagon wreck. You remember this? You remember this. I remember it all started, it's all John Perkins' fault. All John Perkins' fault. John Perkins came up here as a missionary one time from Venezuela. I still talk to John once in a while. And John came up here, and he was telling with the old slideshows about how in Venezuela, boy, when they have a car, they just got to fix it any way they can. They got to make do. They got to find parts on the side of the road or borrow a part from here or there, and they got to make it work. And he says, but with God's help, God helps us, and we always get it done. So I had this Ford Fairmont station wagon that I thought I needed to, we'll just pass over half the story, but I thought I needed to replace an engine in it. And I thought, you know what? John Perkins can do it. God helps John Perkins on the mission field in Venezuela. If God can help John Perkins fix a car, God can help me fix a car. Because he's the same, right? So I called up Ray. And I said, Ray, I got this Ford Fairmont, and you know what it is, and I need to put a new engine in. Ray says, man, I got one. I don't think you had it in the backyard. But he said, I know where I can get you one, and I'll park it over your house. Back in the day, you used to see this all the time. You'd go by someone's house, and you'd say, how come they got these three wooden poles, like a teepee over their car? Hey, that's just a good husband, good dad fixing his car, right? And so I put those two cars side by side right in the back of 181 Palmer Street. I mean, as close as I could. I got three poles, and I put them up there, three cedar poles, and tied them together, chained them together, got a chain fall, and a Chilton's book. And I started with step one all the way through. And guess what? This guy right here took an engine out, lifted it up, put it on a sheet of plywood, slid that one over the edge, took another engine out, put on a piece of plywood, slid it over, lifted up, moved the plywood, set it back in, and finally, now it took me a lot longer than a normal mechanic guy, you know, but I did it. And it ran. It actually ran. I think that's the same car I sent down to the DMV with Allison. But anyways, it ran. It was a success. You know why? Because I followed the instructions. And God enabled me to do it. A lot of prayer went into that. But you know what? I really put that children's book to test one time. I tell you what, folks. I have put this book to the test so many times in my life. So many times I've gone to God and said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. Can't do it as a man, can't do it as a husband, can't do it as a father, can't do it as a pastor. But you've promised, oh God, you promised me that you would enable me. And I will tell you this morning, from the day I got saved to the day, this book has never failed me once. Not once has this book or my God or my Savior or the Spirit of God ever failed me. It has stood the test of time in my life every day. And I tell you this morning, it'll do the same for you. It'll do the same for you. Not only as a husband, not only as a dad, but as a wife, as a mom, as a young person. Listen, it'll do the same. Because God Himself that created heaven and earth says, I give you exceeding great and precious promises. Let them be the anchor of your soul. He says, they're true. It's my word. It's not man's word. It's not religion. It's God's word. And he says, not only will I give you my word, he says, but I will give you my spirit within you that will enable you. You know, Paul said this. Paul says this, I know whom I have believed. You know, sad to say, but we put our faith and trust more in the books that men write. We put more faith in the Chilton's Manual or in Arben's Manual for Trumpeter or some other book. And God says, hey, put your faith and trust right here. This is absolutely true. And listen, young men, they're just getting married and just starting to raise kids. Listen, it's not rocket science. It's divine power by the Spirit of God. It's God that'll help you. It's God that'll help you. You just get on your knees and you say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't have a clue what I'm doing here. How many husbands and dads have said that? How many parents have said that? Lord, I don't have a clue. And God says, just trust me. Trust me. Depend upon me. Rest in me. Walk with me. And let me take you through life and enable you to be what you ought to be. Won't you trust him today? Listen, if you're not saved today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure you're saved, please don't leave without knowing you're saved this morning. Speak to me. Just say, hey, Pastor, help me out here. I'd love to tell you how to be saved, and it's simple, through faith in Jesus Christ. But I challenge husbands and dads this morning, listen, put your faith back right here. Maybe you've gotten away from it. Maybe you just slipped away a little bit. Get back to this. This works. Absolutely, 100%, every day, every situation. This works because it's God. Let's pray.